All right. So we are talking about September. Not nearly as much going on as August, which was kind of nice. I thought I must be missing something. So calendar-wise, on the 11th, our small groups are relaunching, which is wonderful. I've got a couple of new small groups that are starting, so it's very exciting. The 15th through the 18th, Steve and Terry will be coming to Westside. On the 17th, we are also having men's breakfast, and Bible school starts on the 20th. That will go through October 25th. We have the two classes, one on Hebrews, one on rethinking sexuality, looking at the biblical model for God's design. And then our marriage ministry retreat is on the 30th and goes through the 2nd. All right, a couple of things that have happened around the campus recently. The high school room got a much needed updating and attention, and it's no longer a hazard. The elementary room also has got a few updates and was just repainted. So, awesome. Absolutely. Don't thank me. I was not really involved. I a little bit. But yes, got a couple of those updates that just really needed to happen. It's amazing what a little bit of paint will do to a room. And it's hot right now. So stay cool the next few days. Don't overdo it. Don't get heat stroke. Stay in the AC. And then be wary of those that you know that work outside or might not have AC, and just check on them and just be aware of those that we serve in this time, to just making sure they're all right. All right, that's really what we had going on this month and what's recently come up. And so what I want to talk about tonight on ongoing leadership training is talking about leading a meeting. Back in March, we talked about leading a group, and this is different in that you don't necessarily need to lead a whole group to lead a meeting, because leading a meeting can be associated with, it could be a whole church service, it could be a small group, it could be a prayer meeting during the week, it could be at a staff meeting at your work, it could be a retreat you're going to, or a class you're teaching, it could be a funeral. It really can pertain to a lot of different things. It's whenever you're calling people to gather for something. And there's a good way to lead, and there's a poor way to lead. I don't know how to say it any plainer than that. I don't want to. Is that you've all been to a meeting that it didn't seem to go anywhere, or you were wondering where it was going the whole time, or what the point of it was, and it just kind of felt floundering. And we don't really want to be taking people's time to not be taking them a specific direction and having a purpose while they're there. And so this is, in the sense of anybody that is going to be leading, the idea of ongoing leadership is the expectation that each and every one of you may at some point be called to wherever God wants you to be, and you might have to step into that position where you are the one they're looking to. So a couple of resources that have helped me recently. One of them is a book called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. I've gotten through about half of it, and I've skimmed through the back half. The front half of it really applies mostly to us. A lot of her stuff has to do with just kind of familial or friends gatherings, and it's still good, really good material. And then there was an NCMI leadership podcast by that Tyron did, and it's called Leading a Meeting, and that was actually particularly helpful in the specifics of churches. So if you just typed in NCMI Leading a Meeting Tyron, it'll bring that up. And it's about an hour long, and it is specific to church gatherings. Okay, for your meeting, whatever meeting you have, it needs to have a purpose. We can get in a rut, particularly with things that happen either every week or every month or even a meeting like this. Why are we meeting here? Why are we here? It can become more of a routine or religious rather than purposeful if we don't constantly look at that and filter what we're doing through that purpose. It needs to be, what is the phrasing? It needs to be something that is intentional but can be contested. You could argue about why we're having this meeting, and so you have to stick to, well, this is specifically why we're here. You need to know why you want people to gather. Why are they here in the first place? Why am I teaching you all of this? From me personally, and I actually reflected upon this today, it's like, I'm rather young. And I have many people here that are many, many moons more wise than me. And so why am I the one teaching? And I considered that I've actually been trained to do this specific task for about 10 years straight between my career within teaching. My entire training was about leading a small group of we, if you classify them as adults, crazy people, for all day long, every day. My focus was in middle schoolers. Anyone that's worked with middle schoolers, that was my training, is to lead them, to take them through an hour meeting at a time all day long. And then within here, being able to actually walk people through why we're doing things in a healthy way. But you have to know why we're doing this. What do you want people to get out of your meeting? What do you want them to walk away with? When we gather on a Sunday morning, what do you expect people to walk out the door with? When you leave a prayer meeting, what do you want them to have taken away? If you're teaching a class, what do you expect them to be able to tell you a week later? And when you've decided on that thing you want them to learn, how do you measure that? How do you see if you were successful? The act of reflection is actually really important in anything you're going to do, particularly when you are leading something, though. When you're walking people through, were you successful at it? Because we could do this meeting over and over again, and I could think I was wildly successful, but nobody really remembers once Thursday morning shines on them. How do we know we were successful? How do you measure it from your meeting? So you have to be, whatever your goal is, has to be measurable. Your meeting needs to have a target audience as well. This one's a little bit more difficult for people, particularly within the church, because we want to be inclusive. We want everybody to be able to come. But there are some things that your goal isn't going to be for everybody. The young adults group, Melinda jokes about it, it's people that are under 80. But it really, the target audience is young adults. And the focus of the meeting, the focus of what you do, the focus of the activities, the focus of the teachings needs to continue to be aimed at young adults. And you need to let people know that this is our target. If you show up, we're not aiming at you. That's not to be exclusive or offensive, but sometimes those particular gatherings need to be attuned to a particular target audience. When we gather for a church meeting on Sunday morning, there's people from all walks of life that have vastly different levels of maturity in their faith. And so our target audience is actually usually people that are lower in their maturity and faith. We focus on foundations. We focus in on basic principles. We focus on people getting through that process of maturity. And then we have other meetings for those that are farther along. That's such as our Bible school. It's a much more elevated process. It's much more meatier in what we're dishing out for that meeting, the expectation of that meeting. But that's our target. That's our mindset when we teach from the front. That's what we're hoping to hit for the actual teaching portion of it. And then you have to, if you have a target audience, you have to know when to be able to tell people no if they want to come to the meeting. Because it's actually a disservice to the people there if you have too many people that aren't meant to be there. And I don't know how to say that where it doesn't sound mean, but it's actually a kindness to both them and the people that you're targeting that for that meeting to make sure that, hey, this is for, I know you're single, but this target is 18-year-olds and you're 35 and it's just not a good fit. I'm sorry that we don't have a single 35s group going on right now, but no, I'm sorry, you can't come to the 18-year-olds meeting. It just isn't, it's not appropriate, it's not going to fit, it's going to diminish what you're doing, it's going to give an awkwardness to it. It's actually a kindness to be able to exclude, and you have to be able to convey that kindly. And that's part of the burden of leading. You have to be able to convey things well to people and be able to say no, because we want to include all the time, but sometimes we have to say no. You need to give direction and care in your meeting, in any sort of gathering that you have. You cannot be aloof. It's the biggest disservice you can do to everyone you've asked to gather, to just be aloof and kind of let it happen. and just assume people are going to know which way to go or what we're doing or how to go about it. You have to be the one leading it. You have to be directing it and not allow it to happen, to be turned over to someone else, because someone in that room is going to end up leading that meeting. And if it's not you, the person who's called it, the person who's decided the direction, the person who's picked the target audience, they're probably not going the direction you want to go. And so you have to be the one, I'm leading this meeting. You cannot be aloof. You have to be active during that time. And you need to, part of that is you need to protect the people that are there from other people. And I don't want that to sound poor, because most of the time people don't have ill intentions. It's just personality traits come out. You'll have certain people that want to interact in a certain way that doesn't actually fit your meeting style. You don't want one person to dominate the entire conversation of the meeting. You have to be able to step in and know when to cut off conversations or be able to direct a different course or say, okay, we're transitioning now. You have to be able to protect the other people there so that the purpose of them being there is it ends up being fulfilled. Because meetings can end up being dominated by large personalities that come in. They're really good intention. They want to be a part of it. They're all excited. But then it all can end up becoming a part of them or can end up going the direction they want to go. And that's a disservice to the people as well. So you have to be able to protect them in what they came there for. You need to tell people what's expected next. Don't assume everybody knows which direction you're going. You never know when there are new people there. And that's actually why within our church services, one of the things we started doing, we've started the call to gather before service. Before we just kind of played the music and people still kind of lolled around the back. And they go, oh, I think church is starting. And we've started recently. Hey, everybody, we're starting service. We're calling everybody up front. We're going to pray over this. We're going to start worshiping God. We're telling people what's going on. Every time we transition, hey, we're going to pray for the kids now. After you pray for the kids, go to the back to your teachers. Don't assume they know what's going on. It actually brings comfort and stability when they know the direction that they're going at the moment. And you need to be ready to transition. You got to know when that part of the meeting is done and to just leave it and to move on and not just go, oh, it's been so nice during this time. Let's stay in this time the whole time. And you might actually diminish the desired purpose within that if you stick with that beyond what it was meant to be. And within that, you need to be able to know when it's over and be able to release people from the meeting. That's one of the biggest things within small groups, I think, can be a challenge when it's been a really nice time, it's going well, and you had a specific time that you told people it would end at. And that time comes and goes, and the conversation is so great, and you see people kind of itching in their seats, and is the meeting over? Can I go? Is it going to be rude? And so it's part of respecting people's time, is that, hey, the meeting's actually over now. If anyone needs to go home, feel free. We'll still be here. We'll still have some conversations, but we love you. Have a great night. Let people know when the meeting is done. If some people still want to gather, some people still want to hang around afterwards, that's fine. But release people to go so they don't feel obligated to stay and it goes beyond what it was meant to be. Know when it's over. And one big thing I want to put throughout all of this, it's not specific in my notes, but it's on my mind, is being attuned to the Holy Spirit changing directions when you need to. We can follow as many rules and guidelines and processes that fit well, but some of the best things happen when God makes a switch. And let people know that as well. Don't just switch it up and people don't know what's going on. That's also not a kindness. That's also not being a good leader, but saying, hey, I really felt this. We're going to spend a few minutes doing this at this time, and then we'll transition back to what we're doing. So be attentive, be attuned, because we can actually miss out on some really good opportunities if we're not listening for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That was a lot all at once. I'm sorry. I did not pause for questions. Does anybody have any questions within that maybe sparked as I said certain things? So I talked about defined purpose. The book I just mentioned, The Art of Gathering, covers a lot of those different things when we make a poor decision, how do we correct? Sometimes in the meeting, you really can't correct in that meeting. You might be able to, but if personalities get out of hand, one of the things that has been helpful is that process of reflection. And then when you call together again, talk about it. Actually say, so for those online, I'm sorry, the question was, what do you do when meetings go south? Is there any resources to help correct that during the meeting? I'd recommend this book for that. But as well, if you can't correct it within that meeting, to come back later and explain it to people. Hey, this happened last time. We all know it didn't go well. Just be honest about it. We're going to, from now on, we want to make sure everyone is respected while they're speaking. So we're going to wait until, and actually wait till finished people speak. We're not going to clamor over each other. Whatever it is that happened, correct it and address it and take some time to acknowledge what that specific problem was and how you're going to avoid it this next time around. Any other questions sparked? Yes, Mike. So the question is, if you have a certain personality that's dominating weekly, how do you address that? Couple options. One, you said, do you address that right away? I think even if you address that right away, that personality doesn't probably think of themselves that way. And so my earnest advice, and this is just, that's one of the burdens of leading the meeting, is to have that conversation as soon as possible so it doesn't become a norm and saying, hey, last time I loved your input, but I really feel like not as many people got to share. And so next time, I know you've got a lot of things you want to say. Can we try to spread it out through the whole meeting to give other people a chance to participate as well? Some way to convey that we can be blunt, but we don't want to blow people out. We're here to show people the love of Jesus, not the backhand of Jesus. So... No, Jesus did that for us. Only 39 lashes. 40 is a death sentence. I would address it right away. The longer you let it go on, the harder that conversation is going to be because you've let it become a norm. And then they kind of just take over your meeting. And they might be offended, but as long as you come to it with humility and the best in mind for everyone that's gathered there, that offense in a certain level is going to be on them, as long as you did your part to come at that meeting with humility in mind. Not just, I'm the boss and you need to shut up. Then if you offend them, I'm going to have a talk with you about that. But yes, I would say that's definitely a Matthew 18 principle. Address it right away so that the whole meeting remains healthy and we don't blow other people out in the meeting. They're not going to want to come they're going to find another place to gather if all they ever hear is that one person talking when they never get to input. It will diminish the entire group. Any other questions? So, define purpose, target audience, direction, and care. All right. Thank you, everybody. This meeting is at an end.